Arm Aronson of the Total Sports Recall Podcast here to share a winning strategy for Father's Day from our partners at Sterling Roastery. If your dad treats his morning coffee like a pregame ritual, you need to introduce him to the Sterling Roastery lineup. This isn't that stale, over-roasted stuff sitting on our grocery shelf. Sterling roasts their beans multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. The smart play? A coffee subscription. He gets to choose his grind, from French press to espresso, and his favorite roast, depth. It's a world-class lineup of Java that shows up like a reliable veteran on a perennial powerhouse team. Go to sterlingsoap.com and set him up. He'll thank you with every cup. That's sterlingsoap.com.
They say the number 13 is lucky, but maybe not so much in NFL draft history. It's a Hall of Fame goldmine. From the dominance of Aaron Donald and Franco Harris to tight end goats like Tony Gonzalez and Kellen Winslow, pick number 13 has built dynasties and redefined eras. Today, we're counting down the top five legends who proved that being selected 13th was the best thing to ever happen to their franchises. Welcome to the Pigpen. This is Pigskin Dispatch's countdown of all 32-round draft picks with Ed Cleese here, building up to the NFL draft.
Hello, my football friends. It is pick number 13 today because we are 13 days before the NFL draft, and we're going to talk about the legends that were drafted in slot number 13 of the NFL draft. Joining us once again is Ed Cleese. Ed, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. How are you today?
I am doing great because I am in Western Pennsylvania, and the draft is in Pittsburgh, and we are getting pumped up for some great football picks here in a record year, I think, 2026.
Well, you know, some interesting draft kind of news is I think the children of Pittsburgh are going to be pumped up too. I'm sure you saw the reports that they're going to miss 3 days of school for the draft. That blew my mind. And I sat thinking, you know what? These little kids eating their pierogies may not know how to read or write or do any kind of basic math, but darn it, they're going to know about the fourth round right guard from Arkansas State taken by the Bucks, because we're going to make sure that they know what's up with that.
Hey, that way they can stay up late and watch the draft on Thursday night.
And, yeah, it's very important. We always talk about how important football is to Western PA, and I'm not sure anything hammers that home more than canceling school for 3 days for the draft. It is awesome.
I don't know that there's anything more important than football in Western Pennsylvania. That's sort of the epitome that we love to do here in
Rochester. I love it. Yeah. I absolutely love it.
So pro football's coming home to where the birth of pro football was in 1892, by the way. So that's a great place.
Hey, kids, you might as well, you know, let's just go ahead and just drop out. Just drop out and let's just immerse yourself in football from here on out.
That's professional what NFL here. Fan.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, great career choice. Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that, kids. You'll end up like us.
Right.
Okay. So,
yeah, no
kidding. All right. So we got some interesting draft picks here at pick number 13. You know, lucky 13 has had some great legends. It's had some not so great players that have been taken. So what's your take on pick number 13?
Pick number 13, you know, I mentioned that I've been waiting. Like, when is this going to turn? When is it going to be like a clear line in the sand where, okay, now these picks are all getting stronger, and maybe it's 13, because this, I think, is probably our strongest list. We had a couple kind of random ones in there. This one, I think I might say 13 is the strongest top to bottom. Of course, I'm going back to 1980 on my list, and I think this is really strong. It's really strong in the last 10 years, which is counter to like the way I've started a lot of these pods. We've got Brock Bowers last year, who looks like an absolute – or 2 years ago, I'm sorry, looks like an absolute monster. Jordan Davis for the Eagles is awesome. Rashawn Slater for the Chargers is great. Tristan Wirfs for the Bucks is great. Laramie Tunsil for the Commanders is great. So we've had some real hits over like the last 10 to 12 years. There has only been one quarterback taken since 1980 at this slot. That is Chris Miller, drafted in 1987 by the Falcons. He was 11-31 in his first 4 years. And then he was the quarterback in 91 for the too legit to quit Falcons that made the playoffs. He made the Pro Bowl that year. They had a playoff win. The next 2 years, he went 3-7. So it was just kind of over after that. He had one kind of decent year with the Rams. So probably wouldn't put him on the bust list, but not what you're hoping for with the 13th pick. Kind of staying on the negative, there have been a few disappointments, but not too many real busts. I had to go all the way back to 1990 to find what I consider to be a bust. And I remember, for some reason, I really remember this guy. I think because he had a lot of accolades in college. And that was Percy Snow, a linebacker from Michigan State, was taken by the Chiefs in 1990. Only had 15 career starts. Had some injuries in there, just never panned out. Kind of a really sad story from OU. David Overstreet, a running back taken by the Dolphins in 1981. He had a contract dispute when he was drafted. He went to Canada for a couple years. He came back. He played 1 year for the Dolphins. They kind of limited him a little bit. And he had a decent year. Looked like he might be coming into his own a little bit. And then before the 1984 season, he was killed in a car accident. So he played he got 300 career yards rushing in the NFL, something like that. But those were really the only kind of negative, real big kind of disappointments, things that just didn't work out that I was able to find.
All right. Well, hey, that's some decent players you just talked about right there. It's a little bit of misery and tragedy too with, the Overstreet getting killed. So why don't we talk about your honorable mentions in your top five?
Sure. The honorable mentions, it was kind of hard to figure out who to leave off, 'cause there's some fairly notable guys here. I just tried to find the most impactful to mention. An OU guy, Keith Jackson, 1988 taken. It was a really, really nice career. Probably would have had more receptions in a different era. He was a big, burly tight end. If he played now, he'd probably be, an 80, 90 kind of catch guy. He had a good career. Eric Metcalf was a guy that really, from my era of watching football, was drafted in 1989. Super fun guy, that scat back, third down back. An all-time great punt returner, very exciting player. Marcus Stroud was a really nice defensive lineman for the Jags, taken in 2001. Brandon Graham went about being a Super Bowl hero for the Eagles, taken in 2010. And Sheldon Richardson, kind of a brief career, but had a really nice run as a defensive lineman for those Rex Ryan Jet teams. Those are my honorables.
Yeah.
And I left out quite a few guys that you could mention.
Yeah, I'm interested to see who you're going to have in that top five and maybe some of these ones that you missed. Looking forward to this.
All right, so number five, we got Taquio Spikes, taken in 1998, a linebacker for the Bengals, during an era where the Bengals weren't going to show up on this list very often. he was a traditional linebacker, not a pass rusher. He had 100-plus tackles in his first 6 years. So, boom, right off the bat, you're a massively productive player. He didn't make his first Pro Bowl until the Bills in his sixth season. And then he was an first team all pro in his seventh season, where he had 98 tackles and 5 interceptions as a linebacker. And kind of that speaks to me. It's like, all right, if you're getting named to all pro teams in your sixth and seventh year, you were probably pretty worthy early on and people were just sort of overlooking you. He had one unremarkable year in Philly, and then he had 100 tackles again at ages 34 and 35 with the Niners and Chargers. The guy played in 15 years, 219 games. How many playoff games do you think he played in?
Say maybe 5?
Zero.
Zero, really?
15 years in the NFL, never was on a playoff team. And I think we can all say –
And, even with the Niners and Chargers and Bills.
Never made it. Never made it. Yeah, if you can – if you're a quarterback, maybe that's a bit of an indictment on your career. Not if you're an inside linebacker because there's only so much you could control. So it was really just bad luck that he was on such, middling to bad teams. And he probably was even better than we all think because he never played in a lot of games that mattered.
Yeah, that's true. That's usually when it gets all the television coverage. Definitely Taquio Spikes was a big name to talk about, and a lot of people are talking about in the NFL during his 15-year career. So, yeah, very interesting. All right, who else you have?
Well, number four is going to be the opposite in terms of career length. He reminds me a lot of one of his teammates we talked about in an earlier pod, and that would be Keith Millard, taken in 1985, a defensive tackle by the Vikings. One of the – just a massive – man, a huge guy. He reminds me a lot of his teammate Joey Browner, who was maybe the best safety in the NFL for a very brief period, and it was just awesome. And then Millard played at the same time as Browner did with those mid to late 80s Vikings teams. So they're on the same defense. He was top notch at his peak, Darren. Back to back first team All Pros. Okay, so on the interior, he was Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL in 1989. And I really like this one. He made the all-decade team of the 80s despite being drafted in 1985. So he only played half a decade, but he was named the all-decade team. And another big thing here, Darren, is an interior defensive lineman had 18 sacks in 1989. That is dominant.
It's impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. He had an injury in 1990, so his like sixth year in the league, and basically it ended his career. That was essentially it. He had zero starts in 91 or 92, and then he did make six starts with the Eagles in 93, but he didn't play much at all after that. He held the single season sack record for interior defensive linemen until somebody else that we might talk about later broke it.
Yeah. That's true. Millard was definitely a stud in the NFL and in his college days. So, yeah, great selection.
It's hard. It's something like, again, I've had a struggle sometimes. Like, he only played a few years. So, but, you know, when you have a peak that he peaked, he was a Hall, let me put it this way, he was a Hall of Fame player, right? He played at a Hall of Fame level. He just wasn't able to do it long enough. But it's worth remembering.
Yeah, I mean, a lot like Terrell Davis, who had some really outstanding years, but the injury prevented him from continuing that. So, yeah, I have no problem with that at all. So,
gotcha.
All right, who do you have above him?
Number three is the complete opposite. Also, a defensive lineman that kind of had like the opposite career, and that would be John Abraham, drafted in 2000 by the Jets. He had a 15-year career. There's a lot to like about it. He had three Pro Bowls and a first-team All-Pro with the Jets. He had a Pro Bowl and a first-team All-Pro with the Falcons. And then he made a Pro Bowl with the Cardinals. So he was one of those guys that was in the league forever and just kept producing and producing and producing and producing. He had three double-digit sack seasons with the Jets. He had three double-digit sack seasons with the Falcons. And he had one with the Cardinals. He excelled at a premium skill. That is, that's one way, I think, to really look at it. And then kind of importantly, get this, he is 14th all-time in sacks, and everyone ahead of him on that list is in the Hall of Fame, except for Terrell Suggs, who's going to be, I think, and Von Miller, who definitely will be. So he's on a list of guys. Every single one of them is in the Hall of Fame. I don't think people consider Abraham to be a Hall of Famer, but his numbers are in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it's especially in the era that he played. There was a lot of great interior defensive linemen and ones that we're going to be talking about. We've talked about in previous podcasts, ones we're going to be talking about in future podcasts here with some outstanding things. So it's going to be a tough battle for him to get to Canton, but definitely a solid player.
And I think moving around sometimes can be viewed as a negative for certain guys if their career feels a little nomadic. And again, he didn't play on great teams. There wasn't a lot of, how many people were watching the Cardinals, when he was there? I guess those teams were decent, but, we're not really, certainly the Jets in the early 2000s, no one's, seeking them out. So, that probably hurts him a little bit.
Yeah, definitely a consideration that Hall of Fame voters look at. So, all right, so who do you have above Abraham?
Well, it's an incredible top two. And it's almost embarrassing that this guy can't be number one. That is number two is Tony Gonzalez, taken 1997, tight end by the Chiefs. I mean, just get this. So he's first all-time in catches in the history of the NFL for tight ends, and he is third overall in the history of the league for receptions, okay, including everybody, all right? He's first in the NFL history in tight end yards, and he is sixth overall in reception yards. He is second in tight end touchdowns. He is 14 Pro Bowls in 17 years, six-time All-Pro, all-decade team, first-team All-Pro at age 36 with the Falcons, and he caught 93 passes. So he's 36. He's still considered the best tight end in the league, and he's catching 93 passes. He only played in seven career playoff games. That's it. In that long career, productive, only seven – this is something to remember. So in the 2012 NFC Championship game, the Falcons got beat by the 49ers in Kaepernick. But in that game, Tony Gonzalez had 8 catches, he had 78 yards, and he had a touchdown. So it wasn't that he didn't produce when it mattered. It just was he wasn't given a ton of opportunity to produce in those really big games. But yeah, he was looking at a lot of average teams, but he was anything but I mean, we might as well just call him the greatest tight end of all time. I mean, we can debate maybe a couple guys, but I mean, the numbers are very much in Gonzalez's favor in any kind of tight end debate.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you there. And many people are going to be sitting there saying, how could you not have Tony Gonzalez in at the number one spot? Well, I think this next person you're going to mention, I think you're going to mention, definitely sheds a light on that and puts all that to rest.
Yeah, it makes it easy when we start talking about number one here, Darren, and that is, of course, the incomparable Aaron Donald, taken in 2014 by the Rams, a defensive tackle. I mean, the only knock on his career that you could possibly come up with, and this is a stretch, is that it was only 10 years. That he retired fairly early. So he had a 10-year career, which up against some of the other all-time great players is a little short. He was the defensive rookie of the year, and then he made 7 straight first-team All-Pros, which is nuts. And then he had 1 year where he just made the Pro Bowl, and then he was All-Pro first-team again in his final year. 111 career sacks in 10 years from the interior is bananas. That is crazy, all right? He had 20 and a half in 2018, which broke Keith Millard's interior D lineman record that he had held for like 30-some years. And then, you know, what gets better than this? He had 2 sacks and the game-deciding fourth down stop in the Super Bowl. You know, so in the biggest game of his life and his career for his team and everybody in the Rams – he was unstoppable. And then I would say,
and most of the time fighting through double teams too. Yeah. They would shift their line protection to him wherever he was.
And then I would say beyond that, Darren, is that, you know, sometimes it's hard, even a really good interior lineman, whether offense or defense, to kind of notice them in the game, even if they're doing their job very, very well. Sometimes they're hard to notice. Donald was impossible not to notice. So he also passed the eye test. I don't know if there's ever been like, man, I really want to watch that defensive tackle play, but he would do embarrassing things to giant men. Okay. On the offensive line, embarrassing things. Like he would embarrass them. He was a monster. And you know what? I try to stay away from the hyperbole. We often will say he's in the running for this. He's an argument. I don't think there's any argument, Darren. Aaron Donald is the best defensive tackle in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, he is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer when he's eligible in a couple of years, and there's no doubt about it. But you know what the best thing about it is? There's another show where we get to talk about a Western Pennsylvania guy that made number one on your list, and another Pitt player. 2 days yep. in a row here. So that's
Steve, maybe he didn't pay attention in school either and was just focused on football, and we should all follow his lead out there in Western PA.
That's why kids are getting remote learning during the NFL draft in Pittsburgh
just learn how to throw an offensive guard 20 yards down the field, and that's all you need to do. You're fine.
Right. Yeah. That's
who needs English?
He is probably the most impactful since Reggie White, you know, no doubts about
Absolutely.
It.
He's
right in that same class. That's for sure.
Yeah. Interior, I think he's the best ever. We start adding in the edge guys, then maybe it becomes – there's some debate. But in terms of the interior, I dare somebody to find me a more dominant figure than Aaron Donald.
Yeah, very hard to do, very hard. I mean, just – I'd like to mention a couple names that didn't make your honorable mention that I'd like to mention that didn't make your top five. You know, Lee Evans, wide receiver from mm-hmm. Buffalo Bills in 2004. Jonathan Stewart, I don't think you mentioned.
Yep, I didn't.
You know, running back for Carolina Panthers still yep. has many of the Panthers records and had, you know, some great things years there with them. And Dante Stallworth, you know, played for New Orleans, played a little bit for the Patriots, but decent career that he had in the NFL. another one, Eric Metcalf, was a
great We talked about Metcalf.
Yeah, you did talk about Metcalf. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there were some Hall of Famers, you know, besides, you know, we know that Aaron Donald's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, Tony Gonzalez already in the Hall of Fame. But there are some outside of 1980. One just missed your pick. 1979, Kellen Winslow Sr. was by the San Diego Chargers Hall of Fame tight end.
One of the most iconic single game performances in NFL history in that playoff game in Miami.
Right. And one of my favorite players of all time, a number retired by the Steelers, Franco Harris, was taken out of Penn State in 1972. Sure. Sort of one of those, you know, helped the draft, those couple drafts there in the mid-70s that really put the Steelers on course to dominate. And one that Mr. Cowboy was drafted. I know you love talking about the Cowboys. Bob Lilly, 1961, was the 13th pick of the Cowboys, or the overall pick of the Cowboys. But this tradition of Hall of Famers goes back all the way to the very first NFL draft, 1937. Our first Hall of Famer that came out of the draft, Ace Parker, tailback. And back then, tailbacks were the ones that threw the passes, stars of the show. Ace Parker, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Once again, Brooklyn's been coming up with a lot of big picks here that kind of famous. We talked about one the other day. So that's our Hall of Famers that are in there. And really, those are our top players to talk about there. Also, our most popular position in the 13th slot has been defensive tackle. And I guess when you're talking, you know, some of the guys we just talked about, that's the reason why there have been some good ones on there. Five Hall of Famers total. And that takes us to our draft stat of the day. And I guess our topic today, because we just had it happen last year, is the team with the number one overall pick trading out of that spot. How often do you think that's happened in the 90 years of the NFL draft?
90 years of the NFL draft? I'll say it's happened draft. I can think of a couple off the top of my head, so I'm going to say it's happened 7 times.
Well, you're about half of what it is. It's happened 13 times, including last year. Since 13 times, not even 90 years, 13 times since the merger.
We're
just looking at the merger here. So in 60 years, we've had that 13 times. So pretty high statistics. They're almost 25% of the time the top team is drafting out of that spot.
Okay. So
that's our draft spot of the day. And that is our date for slot number 13. Ed, we really enjoyed having you on today. I'd love to have you come back and talk about the number 12 spot tomorrow.
Can't wait. I'll see you tomorrow, Darren.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history.
Hi, everyone. There's a new podcast in town, Statman and Robin. We are the dynamic duo of Baltimore sports history.
We have lots of stories to tell about the great and not so great teams and players in Baltimore's rich sports history, and some of the more obscure ones, too.
We grew up together with these teams and players, and we'll add our experiences to these great stories.
Yep, we were there for a lot of them. Join us here on the Sports History Network.